Hope everyone had a relaxing afternoon. I did. My name is Floyd Barco, and I serve as a deacon here at the Cary Church of Christ. I'd like to thank Brother Rob Collins for calling on me to give tonight's sermon. And I'm also thankful for you, and thank you for your time and your attention and allowing me to share a portion of God's Word with you. If you're a visitor, we'd like to welcome you back. I'd like to ask you to stay a while, give us an opportunity to get to know you better, and answer any questions. And brethren, if there's anything that I might say tonight that may not be biblically correct, I do welcome you to give me your loving feedback, as long as you use the Word. As you know, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness." And so it's important for us to be able to hold ourselves accountable in terms of speaking and spiriting the truth and making sure what we say squares with the Bible. And that's one of the wonderful things about the Lord's church is that we speak what the Bible speaks, we're silent what the Bible silent, and we do our best to make sure that what we say matches what the Word says. Tonight I'd like to speak to you about the value of being a Christian and importance of walking in the Spirit of Christ. Being a Christian is a wonderful thing. You say amen to that? Amen. And walking in the Spirit is essential to our faithfulness and for our salvation. So how often do we, you know, count our blessings as a Christian? Is it even really possible to count our blessings? So I think it's important for us at least to recognize our blessings and for us to be thankful for them. You know, when I think of my blessings, it brings joy to my heart when I take time out to actually meditate on it, and just think about all the wonderful things that God has done for me. The fact I'm a Christian, the fact that I have His church, and that He loves me, and He provides for us, and He provides for my family, and it's thankful, and it's heartwarming. It kind of takes the sting off of a disappointing moment or a disappointing situation. And sometimes, you know, God has to say no to things. Sometimes we might look for something or want something that just may not be the proper time. I know sometimes my wife and I will go house hunting and just look at model homes, and everything is just perfect. You know, have all these nice upgrades, and makes you sometimes kind of feel bad about your house. But when you go home, you're like, you know what? It's not so bad after all. This is a nice place too, and you know what? God provided. So as Christians, you know, heaven is our home, right? Well, you know, putting heaven aside just for a moment, you know, we have to remember that that's really our hope is heaven. And so I ask you, have you really ever thought about, you know, what you have in Christ like right now? You know, we have heaven, that's far off, but have you really thought about what you have right now in Christ? And, you know, so if you're not a Christian, do you really understand what you do not have in Christ? And if you don't understand and you have questions, you know, I'm open to doing a Bible study. There's many people of our congregation that's open to do a Bible study. And it's important that you understand how one becomes a member of the Lord's church and all the wonderful benefits that that come with being a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. Yeah. We all know that Christ loves us. And just imagine for a minute, you know, what God had to do, what Jesus had to do in order to save us. Well, we know He gave up heaven. You know, heaven's a wonderful place. You know, God is there. He's building mansions for us. He's rebuilding heaven for us. There's streets of gold. There's no crime. There's nothing but love there and peace. And that's where we all want to go. Well, Jesus came. He left heaven. He came here. And at birth, death was knocking at His door. We know that He was born in a manger. We know King Herod was out to kill Him. So He had to flee to Egypt with His family, right? And He was there for a while, and He came back. Herod was still there, and then so He resided in Nazareth. He was raised a faithful boy. He served God. He suffered, and He died for our sins on the cross. But while He was here, He taught us how to know God and how to love God and actually how to love each other. We know the great commandment in Matthew 22, 34-39 says, you know, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. You know, so Jesus, He taught us how to love God, how to know God. He taught us how to pray, how to be faithful. And that's a wonderful thing about being a Christian. You know, He left His word here for us, which is the Bible. He left his spirit for us, which is going to raise us in the end times. And he left his church. He built his church. And he's given us prayer, direct communication with God. And those are all wonderful things. I mentioned he built his church, right? Well, in Matthew 16:18, it says that upon Peter's confession, it says, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. So through the church is we have all comfort. We have safety. We're going to be able to go to heaven through the church. And it's kind of like Noah's Ark. Only those who are in it will be saved. Right? If you read Ephesians 5:23, it says, you can turn there with me. It says, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. So he built the church in which we will be saved in. The church is the body, and Jesus is the savior of it. And so it's very important that we understand how to get in it. It's important for us to be faithful in it and to serve God in spirit and truth in it, because Jesus is going to return the kingdom. He's going to return the church back to God in the end times. And I think it's important for us to recognize it up front versus on the back end. Recognize on the front end so that we can be faithful. We can be inspired to tell people about Christianity, inspired to tell people about the Lord's church, because that's what he's returning back to God in end times. And there's a judgment also. And so we want to make sure that we're in that church and we're covered with Christ's blood and we're part of his family. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15:22-24. It's another great benefit about being a Christian. We're in his church. 1 Corinthians 15:22-24. And it reads, as for an Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming. Listen to this. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. Jesus is going to return his kingdom to the Lord. And so we want to make sure that we are doing everything we can to live faithful lives. And we also have the courage to confess Christ to others. And that we enjoy our Christian walk also. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here on earth. So we want to look to Christ where he's at the right hand of the Father, and invest our time, our energy in the Lord, not in worldly things. So the value of being a Christian. So what are some of the familiar blessings in being a Christian, the value of being a Christian? Well, let me share a few things with you. Well, we have our Christian relationships. You know, we have the time we spend with each other. We're like-minded, like-mindedness. We share things in common. We pray for each other. We can go to God and talk about things that are on our heart. I remember my son Caleb, he was always up here just about every month asking for prayers for school, because he struggled in math and he needed help. And we had brothers here that would help him, some sisters in Christ would help him out, and he'll go back to school and work really, really hard. Well, by his last two semesters, he was getting 4.0s. And also through Lads of Leaders, which is a development program we run here through the Cary Church of Christ with speech and debate and song. He did that along with my other boys and other children that we have here in our congregation. He did fairly well, and I end up writing the school he's going to now. He's going to Morehouse College in Atlanta. And I outline what he has done through Lads of Leaders. Do you know that they gave him a four-year scholarship there because of Lads of Leaders? Yeah. Not a full scholarship, but at least meltdowns of cost a little bit to where if he was going to school locally here. And that had to do with prayer, you guys' prayers, your time with him. He always talked about his Bible school teachers from when he was a little boy all the way through high school and the impact that our brethren here has had on him. And that's neat, because he still talks to me about those today. In a church, as a Christian, we can never really be lonely because, you know, we're the body of Christ. You know, the nose can't say the eyes, I don't need you. The hand can't say the foot, I don't need you. We're all connected, and we're all part of Christ's body. And in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. What are those things? All the things that we need, God will provide for us. But in order to fully understand that and to fully own that, you have to be in his church. You have to be a part of his family. And they have to study it and meditate on it and be fed with the word. You know, as Christians, we have love for each other. We have gratitude. We're able to glean off our different talents. I mean, some people might be good at automotive. Some might be good at repairing clothing or whatever it is. We all have different skills. And we use those skills in our different programs, from lads to leaders, vacation Bible school. And it's really neat to see all the different talents come together. And when someone's in need, we're there for each other. If it's a financial need, if someone is sick, we're going to cook for them. I remember that when Desmond's mom was sick, we had a food list, and we're bringing food down there. They're like, it's so much. But, you know, it really showed how the body of Christ can reach out and serve and help. And they were thankful, and they were blessed. I met a visitor today. His name was Mike, and he was just thanking me for someone being at the door visiting him when he came to church. Again, that's just another extension of the different things that we're able to do as Christians within the church. We have the hope of heaven. We have peace, and we have comfort. And God is the God of all comfort. And as long as we are connected to him, we can be comforted. Let me give you another example of that. Sometimes in the world, we go through things. You know, sometimes we might get anxious. I have a friend at work, and one of the things she says, I have so much anxiety that it causes me to do bad things. And so I try to confess Christ to her and try to get her to come to church. I've not been successful at it yet, but as Christians, we know that we can cast our anxieties upon the Lord, and he'll care for us. Let's turn to Philippians 4, 4 through 6. Philippians 4, 4, 4 through 6. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Our hearts and our minds. Isn't that what sometimes gets tangled up in the world? Our hearts get caught up sometimes. Our minds get overwhelmed. And we can't think straight and we worry. Well, as Christians, as we're faithful and we trust God and rely upon him, we can cast that anxiety upon him and he'll take care of our heart and our minds. And we can cast that anxiety upon each other and pray and fast with each other and take our requests to God. And you know what? He answers us and he hears us and he cares for us. You know, I remember in Matthew 4:4 when Jesus was being tempted by the devil. He was in a desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan waited for the opportune time. And he said what? Turn these stones into bread? Because Jesus has God's word in his heart, like we have God's words in the heart, he'll say, you know, it is written, you know, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Because he had God's word on his heart, right, he was able to rebuke the devil. And you know, as Christians, we have that same power to rebuke the devil, to rebuke a situation that's confusing us or entrapping us, because we carry God's word in our heart. And as Christians, we have that power. And just the opportunity to worship God and to please him, we know that in John 4, 23, 24, the kind of worshiper that God likes is the one that worships in spirit and in truth. Well, in the Lord's church, we have the right biblical pattern for worship, right? Brother Pruitt talked about those five acts of worship. He went over singing today, which was wonderful. And you saw how wonderful it was to sing together. Brother Shambly and Brother Pruitt led those songs. And it was an awesome thing, right? For us to praise God together. And you know what? When God says we worship in spirit and in truth, you know, that's the kind of worship he likes. That's the kind of worship he seeks, right? And that's a wonderful thing for us to be able to be Christians and to please God and worship him the way that he asks us to according to the scriptures. Well, I understand things are not going to always be perfect. And, you know, we live in the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. So therefore, as Christians, we understand that sometimes we're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some tribulations, some letdowns, and sometimes you may even be excluded. Doesn't feel good, right? Well, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3:12, we learn that, you know, that's expected. And that's one of the joys of being a Christian is, okay, I can be prepared for this, right? I still have to walk in the Spirit, but I have to be prepared for this. Go to 2 Timothy 3:12.
what does it say? It says, yes, and all who desire to live a godly to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Have you ever been persecuted as a Christian?
I have. Doesn't feel good. But you know what? After you've gone through that persecution and you were faithful, what did it produce? Perseverance. Build your character up. Allows you to trust God a little bit more, right? Now God can use you in more situations because you trust him. You're united in suffering with him. And you're stronger now, right? Because really, your inheritance isn't in this earth anyways, in this world anyways. And maybe some of those people even persecuting you because you demonstrated Christ. Maybe you can bring them over. And some of the people that I've dealt with have designed plans at work, and I've actually started seeing them putting Jesus in there. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So, you know, even though it may have been intended for bad, as we walk in Christ and walk in Christ's Spirit, you can change people. And that's what God can do with us. Let's look at Romans 5, 1 through 5, in terms of tribulation and produces perseverance. We're going to stay in Romans for a little bit here. Romans 5. One through five. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now watch this. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. It says glory in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given it to us. Right? That hope has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that God gives to us. Right? Well, how do we continue to have that perseverance and that character developed? Well, we have to also remember, well, there's an inheritance at the back end also. Right? Turn over to Romans 8, 17. Let's look at that inheritance that we got. As Christians, as children of God. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So as Christian, we're going to be persecuted. If you desire to live a godly life, you're going to be persecuted. But we have to be faithful because it develops perseverance and character. But we also have to remember that there's some blessings on the back end. Kind of like Job, he suffered. Do you understand why? But got threefold blessings in the back end because he was faithful. Well, this is telling us right here that we're heirs, co-heirs with Jesus Christ, and that we'll be glorified with him. We just have to be faithful. Amen? Amen. And in order to do that, we got to just, you know, continue to renew our minds daily, not conform to the world, and just stay in God's word, and just realize that this pattern of the world leads to destruction. But the faithfulness of Christ, you know, it leads to life, and there's an abundant life. So we have to be a part of him. You know, we might get knocked down. This is my last verse in terms of this area here, but Proverbs 24:16 talks about, you know, a faithful man may fall down seven times, but he can stand up. But a man that's not faithful, you know, he's going to be destroyed through calamity. And so if we're faithful, we're going to fall down sometimes. It's just going to happen. But the good thing is, we're going to be able to get up. Okay? We can get back up. And so, you know, the world is afraid of Christianity because they don't really understand that the real treasure in life is a life with Christ. And so it's important for us to really hold on to what Christ told us to do in Matthew 28:18. That's to go out into all the world, right, and teach and make disciples, followers of Jesus. And then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. We have to go out and share that gospel. It's called the Great Commission. And tell the world, because they think that sometimes Christianity is trying to destroy their fun, or it's difficult. Or they just have wrong information in terms of how to be faithful to God, or what worship is, or even what the church is. Simply have the description of the church as a building, and not knowing that it's the body of believers that's been baptized into Christ and has been worshiping him in faith through his word. And his yoke is easy and his burden's light. And we have to be able to teach them, right? Because John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we have the truth, and we can set them free as we share what is truth. You know, Ephesians 3:10 talks about God's wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God made known to the church. Well, that's us. That wisdom will be known as we go out and confess it and teach it, even going through our trials, and people see how we deal with them in a godly way, differently. You know, I was at a doctor's office the other day, and I had met, I'm in pharmaceutical sales, and I had met somebody, and every once in a while you'll talk about different things, and I always try to bring up Jesus or my children or my wife and talk about different things. And then I saw this person the other day, and they had asked for some help, you know, at work to help them with a doctor's office. She said, "There's something different about you." And she said, "You're a Christian, right?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, it's something I said." He goes, "No, is this your demeanor?" Now, that's not to brag, but that made my day because, you know, someone noticed something different. And that's what I want is for someone to notice something different. And hopefully my walk is real, not fake, so that that Jesus can be true, that I'm not blaspheming Christ by not being faithful. And so thank God we have those cards out there. So I gave this person one of the cards, and hopefully that they'll come to church soon because they're not going to church right now. So we have that opportunity to confess Christ. And salvation is found no other place other than Jesus Christ, according to Acts 4:12. There's no other name that we're saved under, and there's no other place where salvation is other than Jesus Christ. And so we have to be able to have confidence and faith to bring up Jesus. You remember the parable of the treasure when Jesus was telling parables? And it's one of the fascinating ways that Jesus can connect with people by taking an earthly situation and connect it to a heavenly one. Well, let's look at Matthew 13:44. Matthew 13:44. Listen to the Matthew 13:44. It says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which is a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." Well, the kingdom of heaven is like the treasure that's so valuable that when a man finds it, he sells all that he has to acquire it. That's how we have to go after the Lord's church. Put everything first before make that the most important thing in our life is Christ's church. As it says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and these things will come unto you." It's a treasure. And that treasure, we have life. We have his spirit. We have an opportunity to go to heaven. All good things. So why is this treasure so valuable? Well, he was able to immediately seek Christ and his church voluntarily. He sold everything that he had in order to buy it. So shouldn't we have the same kind of attitude, knowing that when Christ sacrifice his life for us, that we should also put his church first? You know, I was thinking, even though it's a parable, I was just thinking that maybe he learned that Jesus was going to return it back, as we read earlier in Matthew 15:24. If he knew that Jesus was going to return that church back to God, maybe that was a passion. Maybe it was he knew that if he put God first, that whatever he needed, he'd always be taken care of. That's a great investment, that you'll always have everything you need taken care of as long as you put God and his church first. You know, so basically, you don't want to be out of the kingdom when God returns the church. We want to be in it, and we want to be able to tell people about that as well. It says, "A life with Christ and being faithful is the most important choice we can ever make." You know, the soul is important, and our souls are important. You know, in Mark 8:36, it says, you know, "What shall a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" Again, another reason why the value of being a Christian and confessing Christ is important, because that's what God wants, the souls. He came down and died for us. We all know what John 3:16. Let's quote that one together. "God so loved the world that he gave his" what? "His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life," right? Well, while we were sinners, Christ died for us, according to Romans 5:8-10. While we were sinners, he died for us. He left heaven, came here, he died for us, and he purchased us with his blood. And that was essential because sin is what separates us from God. You know, Isaiah 59:2, it says, "Your sins separate you from God, and your iniquities turns his face from him." He doesn't hear you. And so if we don't take care of that sin problem, we can't be a member of the church. Souls can't be saved as long as they still have sin. And that's why Christ died for us, why we were still sinners. That's why he left heaven and died for us. And that's why he purchased the church with his own blood, according to Acts 20 and 28. He purchased it with his own blood. Right? And it's his. So, when we become a Christian, we get our sins washed away, right? As you get the sins washed away, now you can have that connection with God. Now you can have that connection and membership in his church. Now he can put his Holy Spirit in you. Okay? Let's read Acts 2, 36 and 38. This is Peter preaching on Pentecost after the death of Christ. Acts 2, 36 to 38. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know that assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said, Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So God gives you his Spirit. And as you continue reading, they continue to break bread, they continue to have fellowship, and God was adding to the church daily. God adds, not us. Acts 2:47, you'll see that God does the adding. It's his church. It's his Spirit. And he provides it to us. And when I say his Spirit, there's only one. We read Ephesians 4:4. Let's read that together. So if I read a scripture, we know that where it comes from. Ephesians 4:4 through 6. Ephesians 4:4, so there is one body and one Spirit. Read again. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So there's only one. So when I speak and I read these scriptures, I'm talking about the one that's described right here. And we're connected to Christ with his Spirit. Let's read Romans 8, 6 to 11. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from death is going to raise us from death. Romans 8. 6 to 11. Romans 8, 6 to 11. And that's how it reads. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. If we don't teach Jesus and allow people to have his Spirit, according to Scripture, they're not going to be raised from the dead. We have to have Christ's Spirit. We have to be able to repent of our sins and become members of his church. And he's the one that gives the Spirit. Remember when Nicodemus was walking over to, went to Jesus to see him in the night in John 3? Well, Jesus said, a man is not born of water and blood of the, and the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, God is the one that gives that Spirit. It's his. It's like the wind. We don't see it. And God is the one that determines who gets it. But it's up to us to confess Christ and teach the one gospel so that people can repent and get baptized so they can receive the Holy Spirit I was talking about in Acts 2. Right? One other verse, Ephesians 3:17. Turn to Ephesians 3:17. Actually, let's start at 16. Start 15. For whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he who would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that being rooted and grounded in love. Again,
we have to be faithful. It's through faith that we have a spirit as well. Okay? So we have to make a decision. We have to make a choice to walk in the spirit or the flesh. We know, according to Galatians 5, 16 to 26, there's actually a war between the spirit and the flesh. They're in conflict. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do, and the spirit wants you to do what Christ wants to do. I think the easiest thing for us to do is just read this together. Now, we're going to look at some definitions of sins. I'm not pointing this out to say that anybody's done any of these things, because we know, according to Romans 3, 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6, 23, says the wages of sin is death. So we have to talk about all these different kinds of sins, and we have to be able to repent and be able to flee from them, right, and draw near to God so that we don't get enticed by them, okay, and then walk in the Spirit, because that shows us how we're growing. So turn to Galatians 5, 16. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. We're going to read this. Because this is going to tell us if we're growing in Christ or not. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So if we're practicing these things, we're not going to be in the kingdom when God delivers it to, when Jesus delivers it to God. So we have to be aware of all of these things, and that we don't test ourselves and flirt with it, because we'll be entrapped by them. But look at the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say fruits. It doesn't say spirits. It says fruit of the Spirit. Remember, there's only one? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against us, there is no law. And those who are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. It's important for us to walk in the Spirit and to love God and to recognize this conflict. And the more time we spend with the Lord, the more time we spend feeding our spirit by reading the Bible. We know that Matthew 4:4, you know, Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we do it. We keep reading it and letting it read through us and practicing it and meditating on it and helping each other, like the Bereans. Now, they study daily and check to see what was said was correct. We have to do that and hold each other accountable if we are in error, because we're human beings. The only thing that's correct is this Bible. Sometimes we might make a mistake, but God allows his grace for us to make a mistake, but we have to go and correct ourselves once we find out what is truth, okay? Because we're Christians, we're humans, but the thing that is correct is this word, and that's why we have God's Bible, okay? So what about his word and abiding in us? If we let that word abide in us, what can we do? Let's read John 15, 1 through 6. It's really about being effective for Christ, right? Like this. That's John 15. I like this parallel here about Jesus being the vine and we are the branches. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So you already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Listen to verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So it's important for us to abide in Jesus. As we abide in Jesus, he'll abide in us. And we can do whatever he asks. Can you imagine, this is not a real plant, but if this was real, and I was to pull a branch off of this plant, take it over here, and leave it there for a week, it would eventually burn up. It would eventually basically just dry up because it's not connected to the vine, right? We have to be connected to Jesus, just like if this plant was real, it had to be connected to the vine for nourishment, right? As we read his word and as we pray and as we fellowship and worship in truth, we get nourished, we get encouraged, we get built up, right? And now we're effective. Now we can bear fruit because we're sharing that one word, right, that produces fruit. The word is spirit. The spirit gives life. And as we preach it and teach it, it does what it needs to do. All we have to do is plant and water, right? Because God gives the increase. Amen? Amen. So in closing, I like to say, Romans 8:28. We know that all things come together for good for those who love God, right? Those are called according to his purpose. And so if we are doing the right things, good things are going to work out for us, even in a world of turmoil. Things are going to work out well for us as long as we're faithful to God. I didn't get the invitation song. What was the number of the invitation song? 454. So 454 is the invitation song. If you are visiting here and someone's been sharing a gospel to you or with you and you have a need for baptism, or if you're a member here and you need prayer, you may come up. And just a couple closing scriptures. It's important that we believe in Jesus, Hebrews 11:6, that we repent of our sins, Luke 13:3, we confess Christ, Matthew 10:32, and then get baptized for remission of our sins, Acts 2:36-38. And then God adds you to the church. God will add you to church. And so our closing song is 454. Thank you for your time and attention.